Hey everyone, hey, yeah, let's what's that like? We're having technical difficulties, okay. Someone read one of the lines. Anyone?
No.
Anastasia, the first
in
line. Read.
What?
Translation.
Oh, my dear Lord Gauranga, please show your mercy to this lowly and destitute soul. Oh, Lord, there is no one more fallen than myself in all the three worlds. There's no one.
Okay, someone else?
It doesn't have all the translations on it.
What?
At one
okay, we won't do the translations. Okay, now I see what the problem is. Okay, so we'll start our class today. I just want to make sure that the Zoom is working for, we have some guests. No, let me just find where we're at. Okay, just before I start, it's a little bit different than the topic I initially announced, because I was teaching a new thing and I became kind of really enthusiastic about it, which was the Shikshastika prayers, the 8 verses that Lord Chaitanya spoke, and almost the history of it. And when I mentioned to Trijagannath that I was doing that, then what was the word you used?
Serendipitous.
What?
Serendipitous.
Serendipitous. I guess it means coincidence. He said, well, I was thinking to do the same thing. But that's great, actually, because it'll be approached from completely different perspectives. Now, just kind of a trigger warning before I speak. The first verse in which I'm going to speak is an extremely high subject. Don't become discouraged when you hear the verse, because the focus of my class is to explain that in a very simple way. It's a challenge, but I've been focusing on this, and it's very, very interesting. And ultimately, the whole thing becomes based on the holy name. So I think it's very practical. So I'm going to read this first verse. And Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So I'm going to read the Sanskrit or Bengali, and then the verse, and then offer my prayers, and then explain it. I think you'll find it really interesting.
Pramod bhavita harshed yod vega dainyarta mistritam lapitam gurachandasya bhagyavadhir nashevate.
Only the most fortunate will relish the mad words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which were mixed with jubilation, envy, agitation, submissiveness, and grief, all produced by ecstatic, loving emotions.
Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmalatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayebhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Before I get to the verse, let's give an introduction to the retreats. I remember when the shelter van was traveling around, and it's an insane kind of service to practice Krishna consciousness. because they're up till 2 in the morning and that kind of atmosphere and environment. And then you're crowded into these small Volkswagen vans, like 12 musicians. And, you know, there's 12 hours, you know, you go from Duluth, Minnesota to New Jersey to do a show and then out to the break. I know it was really wild because I actually traveled with them on the initial tour, which was quite interesting because one of the bands, this is just throwing in something, one of the bands on the tour that was nothing at the time, it was like a backup band, later was in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Rage Against the Machine. It was, the band was there. Not, it wasn't Quo, it was called Inside Out at the time. And so somehow, I forgot, along the way, maybe not there, but maybe in India, Raghunath met one of my friends named Burijan Prabhu. And he, you know, he's just gifted with wisdom. Some people are really just gifted with wisdom. So Raghunath asked him, you know, I don't know, you know, out there, how do you practice Krishna consciousness? It's so difficult, you know, this is my service, etc. And he said, retreats. Retreats. Because the whole idea of the practice of Krishna consciousness is faith. And faith, and this, I love this. This is like a mantra for my retreats now. And it's a definition of faith by this Christian apologist named Alvin Plantinga. Very mode of goodness, sattvic professor. He said, faith is trust by experience. And faith is the most important thing in our life. I'm not talking about I believe or not a believe, but like a real realization of what is your proper goal. Because if you don't have the proper goal, you waste your whole life. You become Columbia's next top model or...
Hey.
What?
It's okay.
But not as your ultimate goal, no. As a means to the goal. I'm not against sense gratification. I'm not against sense gratification. It's just not the goal. We take what we need to get to the goal. No, do your actress career. I bless you. Let you be successful.
Thank you.
I want to see you in the I want to see you win an Oscar, everything.
Yes,
and I'll be the guest in the front row. You got a special guest. I'll shave up for the thing. So that's okay. That's okay. But not as the goal. Because happiness is not things, it's consciousness. So we take the things we need for consciousness. And if for consciousness, if we need some sense gratification, if we need material things, it's okay. Kamesya Nendriya Pritir Labho Jiveta Yavata. What is sense gratification for? The Bhagavatam says, it's not for the pleasure of the senses. We take what we need for the right goal. So the most important, you agree now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I always agree.
Okay. The is having the right goal. And the right goal, like for the fish, the right goal is being in water. If it's not in water... There's nothing you can do to satisfy us. And our right goal is a connection for God, because that's what we are. We're part of God. We're meant for his service. And Prabhupada just gives a simple example of the hand or part in a machine. If the hand is separated from the body, it has no sustenance. It has no function. So that's who we are. And we'll find satisfaction there. But unless we have an experience of it, that gives us that sustenance and gives us that pleasure, we won't move towards that. And faith is not this, I believe, I don't believe. It's kind of a realization that can recede within the mind if it's not renewed. It's not really, it recedes. We forget until we, oh, that experience. I'm thinking about why I'm in Krishna consciousness. Now I'm remembering the Brooklyn Temple in Henry Street. It was such a dynamic temple. And I used to visit that temple. And I remember the experience. An experience that was not super, but supra-sensual. Super-sensual. Beyond anything I can get egotistical. It was an experience. And that experience became my goal. And lo and behold, after 50 years, despite what we've been through, Jai, we're still here, right? There's little bumps on the road. There's things that don't agree with us. Sometimes we go into the wrong temple and we go to the temple and we come out. Wait, what is this? We're less enlivened than we went in, you know, because it's not functioning right. It doesn't fit our mood. There's so many things that can happen. You're in an institution, it's hierarchical. And you discussed that in your last class, Jai, right? You reach plateaus. There's one thing where I made that thing about, you said deep, you know, deep this, deep. I put deep work. And there's a phenomena that we will always plateau unless we do extra work. The work we do to get to a platform will not bring us to the next platform. So people come to a platform and then there has to be work. And if we don't do the work and there's not the inspiration for it, there's not the association for it, we'll wind up, as you were discussing sometimes, unfortunately, with friends I have, friends you have, and say it's not working. So these retreats are meant to give that experience. And the experience of Krishna consciousness comes from practice, and practice means concentration over a period of time without interruption in the right mood. And you do that times of the day to renew your faith, times of the month, the codices are good, the holidays are good, and times of the year, retreats. And I've seen it. It gives people faith, it renews people faith. And the wonderful thing about having retreats in places like Sham Ashram, which is so idyllic. I've been here a week already. The weather, the food, the nice people that I meet. You can get that concentration without the sense of arduous austerity. Just like I was so happy. I didn't, because generally people wander in and out the first day. Where is everyone? When I came here, I thought, I'm going to be sitting here alone. And everybody was already waiting for me. I said, wow, this is great. So you do that. You come, you do this. Then I'm having my class. And then we have a break. There's something you're going to do today. You'll go out. Jai's class in the afternoon or evening. Some kirtans, and before you know it, it's concentrated reasonably, without interruption, and a prolonged way the whole day. And after, what happens, Kelly, right? It gives you an experience, right? That enthuses you, that sometimes it's not easy to get when you live in New Jersey and you go through the bridge and then you try to find a parking spot near the Bhakti Center, you know? And then you come and then all you do is you see all your friends and you talk, you take prasadam and you leave. It's hard. Okay, because there's not only entertainers here, but I'm also a stand-up comedian. So I'm going to tell one of my favorite Woody Allen scenes about parking in New York. He's having a nightmare and he's in a coffin and there's four pallbearers and they're walking down an isolated street in New York. And as the The coffin is going down the street. It sees a parking spot. And it does parallel parking into the spot. And another coffin comes and takes the spot. Okay, I tried. It always doesn't work. Okay. Come on, Patrick. Is that good? Okay. Okay. Now getting back to this, I have to explain Chaitanya, the theology of Chaitanya, because I'm going to go into this with these ecstatic emotions. I have to explain the theology of Chaitanya. And I really want to present it in a reasonable way. So Jai, you're here to check my logic. I usually have someone that checks the logic.
I'm very humble, Mark.
Well, if not, if Gail is listening, she'll catch me. You know, if there's a space in between. So my first premise is, what God means is he's the supreme controller. If you're the supreme controller, God must also be the supreme enjoyer. Because no one uses their control to be miserable. So if you were the supreme controller, you'd be the supreme enjoyer. But what is the supreme enjoyment? The supreme enjoyment is love. The essence of the Ladini Shakti, God's pleasure potency, is Krishna Prem, or love. So if God is the supreme, if there's a God and he's the supreme controller, he must be enjoying love to the highest degree. But love is an energy between two people. And you enjoy it from two different perspectives. You can enjoy love as the object of love or the beloved. And you can enjoy love as the subject of love or the lover. So who enjoys that love more? The beloved or the lover?
Lover.
A lover. And the simple example is, Gala, right? You have a wonderful mother. I met your mother. Saw her immediately. She also loved me. Immediately. She's real, like she's a mother. You have a real mother. She's full of love. You look at her face, it's love, right? And it's so nice for you to go in your home and get your mother's love, right? You enjoy motherly love. You're the object of your mother's love. And she doesn't want anything from it. She just wants to love you, right? But even though she's selfless, who enjoys the love more?
She does.
She does. So the lover enjoys more than the beloved. So now here's God's problem. God is the object of love, right? So God is sitting there. Tintamani prakrasadmasukopaviksha. Lakshavatesha, and he's enjoying that love, right? But someone enjoys the love more than God, and that's his devotee. The lover of God enjoys love more than God. So God, to be God and be the supreme enjoyer, must also take the position of his devotee. Must also have the sentiment of his devotee, Srimati Radharani, at the height of her love. So therefore, the story of Chaitanya is God becoming a devotee. But in that realm where there's no time, you can become something and be it eternally at the same time. So there's a story of God becoming his devotee. That's Chaitanya. And the beautiful part of this story, when he takes birth, he doesn't have that love. He's God, but he doesn't have that love. And why doesn't he have that love? Because where is that love of God? It's in the heart of the devotee. So until he meets his guru, he doesn't have that love yet. He doesn't have that love. So the story of I always do this. I tell this example, but you know, I was giving a lecture on Lord Chaitanya, and maybe it was Gaur Purnima, and it was the Bhakti Center. And these are the toughest lectures in the world. It's so much easier, Jai, to just give a class, right? The same people, frame of reference, you spoke the last thing, et cetera. You build it up, you know where they are. And now they say, okay, Jai Jagannath, it's Radharani's appearance, and give the lecture, right? And then Jai looks at the audience, and then there's like some old Prabhupada disciples there wanting to see that Jai's famous for his talks on Rasa Shastra. Right? So that devotee sitting there, they caught you with a commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and he's sitting in the audience, right? Right? And then you got like, you know, some devotees that are more rasika there. You know what I'm saying? Like some people like that, you know, and then you got new devotees, and then you're there, and you everyone knows in any type of communication, the audience has to be one mind. And if it's not one mind, you can't create that feeling of unity that's necessary. You can't even communicate. It's so confusing when you get mental. Because real communication, whether it's class or teaching, has to be on the level of unconscious competence. It has to be at a higher level than just the intellect. It has to be your frame of reference and something working. So it's so difficult. And there's Jai. So he's given the class. Okay, that person's there. Going to check if he quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Rasa Tattva. And then there's other people there and new people. And then Jai gets into the audience. Someone brings in his 80-year-old grandmother. So that happened to me. I the class was there, and there were so many varieties of people. So the first thing you do in a circumstance like that is you try to bring everyone in. So I had a very interesting way to do it. I asked a question. God has a problem. It's the same problem as we have. Now everybody in the audience is going, oh, how can God have a problem? What is God's problem? So then what you do is you get the audience, rather than being passive, being active. So now the audience is active. What is it? And then I say, what's the problem? Then I make a joke. He's not a devotee. God is not a devotee. That's the story of Lord Chaitanya. So he has to become the devotee. And he teaches us how to become the devotee. And what kind of devotee does he want to be? Or what kind of devotee does he want to feel? To be God, to be the supreme enjoyer, he has to taste the highest love, which means from his topmost devotee at the height of her love. And his life is like that. So we're following his life in this Chaitanya Charitamrita, and now it's the very end. And what does the very end mean? Well, the first 24 years, he's in Navadvip. And then his father dies and he goes to Gaya, this place where you offer the oblations. That's very important in Indian culture. And he meets his guru. He makes this commitment to Krishna consciousness, and commitment changes consciousness. And his heart opens up to what his teacher gives him. And he's transformed. And at the age of 24, he leaves home and he travels for six years. And then he lives to 44, so the last 18 years of his life, his mission is what? His mission is to taste this highest love and to give it. Samarpiyatam unatojvala rasam swabhakti swim. He's giving his own bhakti. So what is God giving in terms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He's giving himself. He's giving the ecstasy of relishing his own form and his own ecstatic love of him. That's what Chaitanya is experiencing. He's experiencing God, and he's experiencing this love of God. Swabhakti swayam. He's giving his own bhakti to the world, and he's also, he's tasting it, and he's distributing it to the world. So this was his mission. So for 6 years in Puri, he comes to settle down, because if you want to do deep worship, Jai, we talked about this, you got to stay in one place. If you want to write, and you want to, I mean, you got to stay in one place. I mean, there's different ways to relish. But if you want that type of relish, got to stay in one place. But for the first 6 years, he's with his devotees in these ecstatic, maybe I have a better adjective than that. Ecstatic, but that's the only word. In the ecstatic kirtans of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Beatific.
What?
Beatific.
Beatific kirtans of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's in these incredible kirtans, relishing, because with kirtan, there's such an absorption. Because, anyway, I wrote about this, but in kirtan, the shared feeling helps one transcend the ego when you're doing it with others. And it's a facility to allow God to touch your heart in the form of the holy name. Because what's blocking you from the holy name is the limited concept of I. The limited concept of I is I am the controller and the enjoyer. The unlimited concept of I is I am the servant of God and others. So in kirtan, it's so easy to let go of that ego. If you're you can also do it with ego, but when you're focused, because it's the first class, I have to do a lot of stories. So one day, I went to Barsana. I went to Barsana, and there's a famous saint in Barsana named Ramesh Baba. And Ramesh Baba is an amazing saint. And I always tell this story, you know. He doesn't want to hear anything of the world for so many years. Even people would give him donations, like a suitcase full of money. He wouldn't even ask their name. He just wanted to meditate on Radha and Krishna. And Radhanath Swami lived with him before he came to the Hare Krishna movement. He lived with him, and it wasn't like it was now. So now he has a temple up there, and there's a big thing going on. So one of my friends said, for Kartik, I will do bhajan. I will do my practice in his ashram. So my friend walked into him, and the amazing thing about this sadhu is although he's so popular, his door is always open. You can walk in any time. So my friend walked in. He said, I had one quick question. You say you haven't heard anything in this world. What's the last thing you heard in this world? And he said, Marilyn Monroe died. That's pretty long ago. But I don't know why. Am I losing my potency? Everybody's supposed to be. It was like a great. The people in this here heard this line so many times, they're probably laughing. But anyway, I asked him another question, because he has a school of girls from Barsana. And the girls from Barsana, they grow up. It's not like Krishna existed 5,000 years ago. They grow up that Krishna is still there. Maybe when they get older, they'll read something. So he has a school, and in the evening, they have these Braj Bhajans, which he used to play on his Casio. He used to have this Casio. And they were beautiful. Shama Gori Nitya Kishori Prita Majori Siradhe Rasika Rasilo Chaila Chabilo Gunagara Bilo Sri Krishna Jaya Radhe Jaya Radhe Radhe Jaya Radhe Jaya Radhe. And these girls would spin around for 1 hour in their gopi skirts. For 1 hour, they would spin around. So after it, I went up to see him.
Why don't we do that?
What?
Why don't we do that?
I'm going to explain. I'm going to explain.
We should do that tonight.
There's no hard and fast rules. Because you want to do it, it doesn't mean everyone has to do it, but you and Jai can do it. Okay? Okay? So I asked him, and I asked him in a way, it didn't come off the right way, but it in my mind, I sounded like, is this authorized, Prabhu? I asked him, where does this come from, right? And then he quoted the CC, that Lord Chaitanya used to dance like that. And there's a, do you know the term in Bengali or Sanskrit? It's called a firebrand. You put fire on the end of a rope and you spin it around. And it appears that it's not spinning around because it's so fast that it's a... So he said, it's described that Lord Chaitanya danced like that. And he said, when people dance like that, dancing like that, they lose the bodily concept of life. He said, these girls are just not even thinking. They're the bodies. They're completely meditating. So it's authorized, Prabhu. So, excuse the first class. It's just warming up the crowd and getting here. So that's kirtan. So Lord Chaitanya is doing these kirtans. But the last 12 years of his life, he more spent in this room called the Gambira. Gambira means very deep, grave. It also means like a cave. It's one of the 26 qualities of a pure devotee. Gambira, he's very... Oh, I got a cramp. It'll go away. Wow. Oh. Ooh. I'm okay. It's just the... That never happened to me before. Anyway. No, 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 no. It's okay. I look more saintly like this. I tell that to Mallory something. She looks like the guru when she walks around really slow and I'm just speeding by everyone. So... Okay, excuse me for that. So so he spent the time in this Gambira cultivating the internal reason for his descent. He had two causes for coming. One is the Bahirangi Hetu, the external cause means why he came for others. And Antaranga Hetu, why for himself? He came to taste this love and he came to give this love. And that's his life. So here now, this is the end of his life. This is the 19th chapter and the 20th chapter ends it. So this is the very end and it's very significant. And why Krishnas Kaviraj is quoting this verse. Because what happens now is Lord Chaitanya is at the end of his life. And what does that mean? And it's going to be clear in the next chapter that he's actually completed his mission. He's actually tasting the ecstasy of Radharani at the height of her feelings. And he's also given it to the world. Priti viti achi yati nagaradigram. So here... He's saying to the audience, the most fortunate will realize this, that what's happening here is there's so many emotions coming, but they're born of ecstatic loving emotions, even though lumpitam, Misritam. Lumpy tum means talks like a madman. And this is the problem sometimes with understanding things. And understanding Lord Chaitanya and understanding Radha and Krishna. Because they have emotions that parallel the emotions we have, but they're coming from a different place. We understand, I'll go back to my original premise. If the height of enjoyment is love, the height of love is emotional. And when something is emotional and powerfully emotional, it's not conforming to our discrimination. It may be good. You may be overwhelmed with love for someone. It may be the purest thing, but it's not an analysis. It's not an analysis. Let me love this person. This person is this. This person is that. It's feelings. So our conception of the highest reality is not just an understanding. It's a feeling of the absolute reality. And it's a feeling of the absolute reality at the highest state of emotion, which is drama, actually. There's drama. Even to the extent, and this is by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jai, to the extent that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that God must be forgetful and not just all-knowing. And why must God also be forgetful? Because the highest feelings are love. And if you're not forgetful, there's no drama. There's no drama. And I give a simple example. When I went to my brother's 50th birthday, it must have been, I don't know, 10, my younger brother, maybe 10 years ago or more, I went to his 50th birthday. And it was a surprise party. And the biggest surprise was that I came. But I came after the dinner. So everybody was already sit down, you know, and the doors open up and here I am. People don't know who I am. My brother sees me, you know. And then, of course, if you want some humor, this is how my mother introduces me. Someone says, well, where does he live? She says, he has mansions in many continents. where did that come from? But so, boy, we're having fun today. So, but it was a surprise, right? To invoke his emotion, to invoke the emotions, we love you more. So otherwise, what would Krishna Leela be? Oh, Radharani's upset, but of course I know the future, and the future she won't be. There's no emotion. So the whole idea of Krishna, and what is he trying to relish? What's the height of Sri Radha's love? And you know that by the stories in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya was focusing on. Because you want a particular emotion, it's best communicated by poetry and drama. If you want to cultivate an emotion, and that's why young people, they want this infatuation and love, and that's why they have all these songs, love songs, romance songs, catchy songs. They like that emotion and they want to feel that emotion. So he's trying to feel that emotion. So we'll see. Actually, it's very interesting how he's cultivating that emotion. That's going to be described here. But what's so interesting is, if you look at the stories, the rasa dance, where Krishna left the rasa dance, what did the gopis feel? When Krishna left Srimati Radharani, what did she feel? When Akrura came to take Krishna out of Vrindavan to Mathura, what did the goat? Now you have to understand, if God has love, then, and we believe there's a God, then what is the intensity of that attraction? If it's just reasonably, what is the intensity of that attraction? If there's actually a love of Godhead, what does that feel like? And what does it feel like when the object of your attraction goes? It's described that the gopis cursed Lord Brahma for eyelids because they blink and they can't see Krishna. Who has that love? When Krishna is in the forest with the cowherd boys, and he's roaming in the forest, and there's every time he goes behind a tree, they feel it. So what to hear when they hear Krishna is being taken from Vrindavan? What is that emotion of love? Of love. What is that emotion of love? And then what is that emotion when he's on the chariot and the wheels start to be moving? What is that feeling? And then when he's gone, there's even a Sanskrit for this, and I translate it, you know, in just mundane talk, going gone. Yeah. And the second going is considered the most intense. So what is that? And is it painful, or is it painful, or is it ecstatic? It's both.
Kind of painful.
What?
It feels painful.
But it heightens love, which is ecstasy. So on that platform, it's somehow or other. I've written about this in drama, when there's a tragedy and you're watching a drama. And it's a good drama, you feel the tragedy, but you're enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely.
What?
Absolutely.
You're enjoying it. So it's somehow these emotions can get mixed on that platform. They're enjoying it, but they're feeling it at the same time. And therefore it's described as poison and nectar mixed at once. So here, what Krishnadas Kaviraj is saying right now is, Lord Chaitanya has basically has achieved what he's come to get. He's feeling this, and he's just churning with these emotions. So it's interesting. And the fortunate person will be able to understand the mind behind the external. And I coined a term, because analogies sometimes are the only way that you can actually understand difficult concepts in practical ways. And I described that they call, you know, people on the spectrum, they have autism. And what that does is people can't understand the mind. We understand the mind. Sometime watch a situation comedy, shut off the sound, and you'll understand everything that's going on. I'm so cognizant of that until I read about this phenomena that these people studied 365 muscles in the face, which they can identify connected with different emotions. It's so obvious. We don't think it like, really, but yes. You look at anybody's face, it's expressing a particular emotion. And even you be cognizant, I was talking to someone yesterday, no, it was 2 weeks ago, and he was telling me something that I didn't really agree with, right? And I didn't want to let him know that I didn't agree with it, because the person may be insulted, right? but I knew that my face was revealing it. And I actually saw my face and I saw the muscles coming saying, oh yeah? You know, it was something. So what happens is we have another type of autism, it's spiritual, where we can't actually see what's the cause of this, because the cause of it is prema udbhavita. It's produced from ecstatic emotions. It's not produced these jubilation, agitation, submit, grief. It's not coming from the ego. It's coming from something else, and therefore, he's saying this is not easy to understand, which is why generally that our study is very systematic, and it's very systematic for a reason, because it wants you to understand this concept of devotion so deeply in so many different relationships and situations, and have a feeling for it at the same time, that when you come to Radha and Krishna, it doesn't trigger your own samskaras, that this is mundane, but rather it triggers your devotion. And that's why I like to stay in Govardhan and bring people there, because they have these experiences. And then what happens is, when you really have a nice devotional experience and it's deep, then you become very, very sensitive to stimuluses of devotion, right? And when you become sensitive to stimuluses of devotion, then you see Govardhan Hill, you see Vaishnavas, you chant the holy name, there's the Bhagavatam, there's the devotee, you're stimulated. And then when there's something Radha and Krishna, that's stimulated in you rather than the mundane. So here it says, prema ubhavita, it's produced from ecstatic emotions, but it sounds like a crazy man from our perspective, but from someone who is rasika, who's experienced, he sees this. This is the highest love. Now, what happens here that's going to make this class maybe a little more down to earth is, I'll give you a little coming attractions. What happens is Lord Chaitanya, he's with his associates, and it describes how he's relishing these feelings. He's chanting the holy name, and there's different poetry, there's different dramas, readings of the Bhagavatam, stories, and he's just relishing it. He's just relishing it. And while he's relishing it, and I'm reading into this, I'm a creative thinker, and sometimes I may be wrong and I get caught, but I'm reading into this, and then it says, and he's also chanting his own verses. And then what happens in Lord Chaitanya's mind, and I'm trying to read his mind, is he begins to think, what caused this? What is the cause? How did I get here? And he begins to glorify the holy name, because Tara Madhye Sarva Shreshte Nama Sankirtan Nirapari Upa Taramadye Sava Shreshte Nama Sankirtan Nirapari Uparadhyaya Poya Premadan. That of all the processes, chanting the holy names of the best. And from this, if you do it with a sincere heart, without offense, comes prema. And then he begins to glorify the holy name. Of all the things that the holy name did to his heart, practically in his life, one after another, he begins to describe him. And that's the first verse of the Shikshastakam. And then The Shikshastakam comes from his heart. And then one after another, these eight verses come. So hopefully we'll get to those verses. And also just, it's like a, what's it called? A Google map. Mm-hmm. But the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Google map, it takes you back in time. It takes you back in time. And then it goes to this place, Puri. And then it goes right down. And it goes right into this little room where Lord Chaitanya is there with his associates and what he's feeling and seeing. So also, what I generally do in my class, I used to call it Bhakti Ras, because when you have nice feelings from hearing Krishna Katha, you have to put in the holy name. So we always end with at least 5 to 10 minutes of kirtan. So we do actually have today 10 minutes. Jai, there's a drop. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Okay, that's class. Okay, no. Nope. It ends with kirtan. Okay? I just speak to the people that are okay. Okay, I don't know how to work this. Okay, those of you who came online, so nice, thank you all. Okay, Jamuna Jaya wants to say hello.
Everybody! Haribol, thanks for the kirtan, Jai Jagannath! Haribol!
Okay.
They're wonderful, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, it's nice. Okay, great. Okay, we'll see everybody on Sunday, okay? Thank you all for coming.